if I turn on the mic. For several weeks now, we have been hearing from the prophets, and in the last 2 weeks in particular, we have heard from the prophets who spoke to the Israelites in exile, when they lived outside of the Holy Land in Babylon, away from their homes, away from their traditions, away from their temple, a people that despaired and never were quite comfortable. And now, this week, we hear words from the prophet Isaiah, possibly an unnamed prophet that is credited to Isaiah. And this week, the prophet is speaking to the people as they return from exile. So they have lived in Babylon and cried out for God to return them to their homeland. And then they get to go home, and it doesn't look quite like they were expecting or hoping for. They return to their homeland to rubble and ashes. It has been destroyed. There's nothing left. And so they have to begin this work of rebuilding. There were no social services. There were no systems put into place. Poverty was everywhere. And they have to begin to put things back together. And I thought about this and thought, boy, can we relate, I think, in lots of ways. Because how many of us have hoped and hoped for something, and then it comes, and then it really doesn't look like what we thought we were hoping for, right? We grow up, we think about, how many of us didn't just want to grow up? I want to be an adult so I can do whatever I want to do whenever I want. That really did not turn out the way I thought it was going to. For real. We get married and we realize marriage isn't a fairy tale every day. We have children and they have minds of their own, God bless them. And they grow up and you have to let go, or heaven forbid, and some of us know our children get sick or meet accidents or all these things that we hope for, and then our hopes feel like they're dashed. And what do we do with that? The Israelites found their way back to their homeland filled with this sense of finally, oh, thank God, we get to go home. And they get home and there's nothing left. And so, what does God do? God comes again and gives them words again of hope. Come, you that are thirsty, drink wine and water. Buy food with no money. For my ways aren't your ways, and my thoughts aren't your thoughts. And we need to relearn that lesson often, that God's ways are not our ways, and that that's actually good news, even though we would really like it if God just always did things the way we wanted and the way we expected, and that everything we hoped for just ended up looking like we were hoping. But that's not always the way it works. And God comes yet again and promises yet again to these people who face new challenges, new difficulties, a new reality, God makes yet another promise, that God will come and fashion for them a king that will make the world new. And guess what? That didn't work out the way they were expecting either. Because that's how God works, right? The Israelites thought, perfect, send us a king that'll wipe out everybody else, we can live at peace, and everything will be okay. But the king that Jesus, that God sends, is Jesus. God sends a baby. What difference could a baby possibly make? A baby's not going to conquer unless it conquers hearts. A baby's not going to wipe out everybody, but he might wipe out sickness and grief and tears and all kinds of stuff. Jesus comes as a baby, becomes a man who still does not fit the mold. But that is the hope. Those are the words of hope that God brings to us yet again and again and again. And so when we face life outside and life inside that just doesn't look the way we had hoped, we again hear words of hope that all is not lost, that we don't need to despair, because God comes again and again and again, and God can redeem again and again and again. We believe, as Lutherans, we say that God's kingdom is here because we believe that the kingdom of God arrived with Christ. And we look outside, and I don't know about you, but there are lots of times when I think that the world I see doesn't look anything at all like God's kingdom or what I think it should look like. So in some ways, I feel like I'm living that Israelite moment, right? I have been looking for this, and now what I see, that's not it. If your kingdom is here, God, then why do people fight? Why are babies starving? Why are so many people sick? It just seems so unjust. It seems so not right. But the flip of the coin is that we believe that the kingdom is here and now, and the kingdom is not yet fully realized. And so we live in this juxtaposition, this tension between now and not yet, waiting and hoping and seeing glimpses. Because if I did ask you for ways in which the kingdom of God is here and now, you could come up with examples. It may not be blanketed everywhere, but you could give me examples. You could tell me about somebody who helped out a neighbor. You could tell me about, you know, shoveling a driveway for somebody who has difficulty. You could tell me about giving to the food bank so that people aren't hungry. You could tell me about the mountains of toys that are given as gifts for children who wouldn't otherwise have anything on Christmas morning. You could tell me about And I could stand here for ages and give you little examples of how the kingdom of God is now. And then I'll refrain from all the examples of the ways in which the kingdom is not yet, because you know them and I know them. But in the midst of that tension, in the midst of that crying out in our soul, God, this is just not what I was thinking. This is not what I had in mind. I think maybe you could have done this differently. We hear again these words of hope. Last week they were that bones that are so dried up can live and have breath. And this week that rubble and destitution and everything, that there's new life. That on the other side, the trees shall clap their hands, the mountains shall break forth with singing. Which may sound familiar. We do have a hymn that says that. Now you know it's from Isaiah. So when we don't know what to do, hope some more. When you feel like your hope hasn't been realized, hope some more. Hope against hopelessness. Because the hope that we have, the hope that is life in Christ, it defies hopelessness. It says there's never a reason to stop hoping, even if we adjust our hope. There is always something for which we can hope and place our hearts and our faith in something that will get better. At Christmas time, we celebrate the coming of the Christ child. And in the season of Advent, we look forward to the coming of the baby. But we also look forward to the day when Christ will come again, when we won't be in the middle of that place, the now and the not yet, but that we will live fully in the now. I suspect that the Israelites, we read all of these stories, and in our minds everything happens very quickly. But these texts that we've heard happen over hundreds of years. So I would imagine that for lots of them, it could have felt like it does for us. Like there's just a lot of waiting. A lot of waiting and a lot of God not being around. But God did come. God does come. God does show up. And so while for us, the waiting can seem endless, a lot more than 4 weeks, rather a lifetime. Know that we are not alone, and we are and continue to be part of the unfolding story. We live in the time of the kingdom of God and the time that the kingdom is yet to come. Put your hope in what is to come. And then use your hands to bring forth that which you hope for. Be the hands and feet to make the not yet, the now. and everyday hope. Hope in God, and know that your hope is never fruitless. Hope beyond hopelessness. Amen.